Page 102. C. The race for the South Pole. The desire to jump the highest or to run the fastest, in other words, to outdo the rest, is a human characteristic. The same can be said about the desire to be there first, one of the driving forces behind much exploration. At the beginning of the 20th century, there were still places on Earth where no human beings had set foot. One of them was the South Pole. Two experienced explorers, Robert Scott, an Englishman, and the Norwegian Roald Amundsen, led separate expeditions trying to be the first to reach this southernmost place on Earth. It was to become a legendary race, which ended in both glory and tragedy. Scott and his men sailed to Cape Evans in the Antarctic and started the long journey towards the South Pole on the 24th of October 1911. Amundsen and his expedition chose to anchor in the Bay of Wales, which was closer to the pole. They set off on the 19th of October the same year. The two expeditions differed considerably with regard to equipment, clothing, and experience. Roald Amundsen had learned how to handle dog sleds and how to survive extreme polar temperatures from Inuits he had lived with a few years previously. His men used clothes made of sealskin, and he had decided to use dog sleds all the way to the pole. In the final push, weaker dogs were slaughtered and eaten by the men and the remaining dogs. This was part of a carefully designed plan to win the race. Scott was a less experienced explorer than Amundsen, and he chose to use motor sledges and ponies instead of dogs as his main method of transport. Unfortunately, the motors broke down quickly in the icy conditions, and the ponies suffered badly in the snowstorms. After less than 5 weeks, all the ponies had been shot or had frozen to death. Scott thought the men would manage to pull the heavy sledges themselves on the final stretch, and that this was a nobler way of reaching the pole. This was also part of his plan. Scott's expedition reached the pole after an agonizing 81 days, only to find that Amundsen and his men had beaten them by more than a month. Not only were Scott and his expedition disappointed by being beaten in this prestigious race, but the men were also exhausted and suffering from frostbite. On their way back to the base camp at Cape Evans, they experienced prolonged blizzards and plummeting temperatures, and, critically, they were running short of fuel and provisions. Scott's men steadily got weaker. They were remarkably stoical, however, and were determined not to be a burden on their companions. Lawrence Oates, who was seriously ill, left the tent one night to meet his destiny in the howling polar wind. Another man died from concussion, and the rest died from exhaustion, hunger, and frost injuries shortly after. Their frozen bodies were found by a search party on the 12th of November 1912. Captain Scott's diary, with its poignant last entries, lay beside his body. Journals. Scott's last expedition.
I maintain that our arrangements for returning were quite adequate, and that no one in the world would have expected the temperatures and surfaces which we encountered at this time of the year. On the summit, in latitude 85 degrees, 86 degrees, we had minus 20 degrees, minus 30 degrees. On the barrier, in latitude 82 degrees, 10,000 feet lower, we had minus 30 degrees in the day. Minus 47 degrees at night, pretty regularly, with continuous headwind during our day marches. It is clear that these circumstances come on very suddenly, and our wreck is certainly due to this sudden advent of severe weather, which does not seem to have any satisfactory cause. I do not think human beings ever came through such a month as we have come through, and we should have got through in spite of the weather, but for the sickening of a second companion, Captain Oates, and a shortage of fuel in our depots for which I cannot account. And finally, but for the storm which has fallen on us within 11 miles of the depot at which we hoped to secure our final supplies. Surely misfortune could scarcely have exceeded this last blow. We arrived within 11 miles of our old one-ton camp with fuel for one hot meal and food for 2 days. For 4 days we have been unable to leave the tent, the gale howling about us. We are weak. Writing is difficult. But for my own sake, I do not regret this journey, which has shown that Englishmen can endure hardships, help one another, and meet death with as great a fortitude as ever in the past. We took risks. We knew we took them. Things have come out against us, and therefore we have no cause for complaint, but bow to the will of Providence, determined still to do our best to the last. But if we have been willing to give our lives to this enterprise, which is for the honour of our country, I appeal to our countrymen to see that those who depend on us are properly cared for. Had we lived, I should have had a tale to tell of the hardihood, endurance, and courage of my companions, which would have stirred the heart of every Englishman. These rough notes and our dead bodies must tell the tale. But surely, surely a great rich country like ours will see that those who are dependent on us are properly provided for. Robert Falcon Scott.